Praise God. Well, it's so good to be back. It is good to be back. I know you might find that hard to believe, but I tell you what, after 3 days of riding a scooter in Bali, I tell you what, I'm just glad to be alive, okay? I could talk to you about life and death, okay? Life and death is in the power of how good you can maneuver a scooter on the streets of Bali, and the thing is my wife was on the very back of it. She was on the back of it. I'm a taxi kind of person when I'm in those kind of situations. Just let me get in a taxi. Someone else drive, and I don't want to, because it's absolutely crazy. The roads are completely different in there, and I would much rather be there. But my son is an adventurer. He wants to go out and just drive and go through the ins and outs of wherever we're at. And he was driving his scooter, and my job was to follow him without crashing. I did succeed in that, but just barely, okay? Almost ran into somebody head on, who stopped their scooter just like this far from the fender of our scooter, and I stopped my scooter this far from the fender of their scooter. The person that was on the back of that scooter went flying. The person that was on the back of my scooter went flying. And you know who that was, right? My wife can show you some battle scars. She's got some bruises and bumps, but it was all good. God protected us, God loved us, and God brought us back home. And so it's exciting to be back. God is a good God. And one of the things in our travels and in where we went in different places, whether it was in Sydney, Australia, or Melbourne, or in Bali, one of the things that you could certainly see that's everywhere is everywhere they need Jesus. They need Jesus in Sydney, they need Jesus in Melbourne, then they need Jesus in Bali. And let me just give you some good news. They have Jesus in Sydney, they have Jesus in Melbourne, and they've got Jesus in Bali too. We went through some of the streets of Bali, and it's an Indonesian island. It's not its own country. Some say, well, it's the nation of Bali. No, the nation is Indonesia, and the island is Bali. It's sort of like a state. It's not really a state, but it's sort of like a state, and there's many, many cities that's on that island. And everywhere we went, up and down Bali, we saw idols everywhere. They sold them in the marketplace. They sold them along the highway. They had small ones. They had huge ones that they would sell where people would set up. I saw more Buddhas than any time I've ever in my life seen Buddhas. There were Buddhas everywhere. And so they need Jesus as well. They were all kind. They were all loving. They were all open. They were good people. But everywhere they need Jesus, and Jesus is everywhere trying to reach those that are in those nations, in those countries. And so we're excited about that. This morning, I want to talk a little bit about what I had finished up with before I went on our trip, and that is that God has benefits for believers. Do you believe that? Do you believe that that God has called us into something, that He's not in there with us? Wherever we were at, whether we were on a beach at the Tasman Sea, or whether we were on the Indian Ocean, or whether we were in Bali, or wherever it was, God was there with us and followed us and loved us even through those times. And whether we were on a plane inside of this big old circular tin can for 15 hours or 16 hours, I don't even remember how long it was, God was there even then. He's with us wherever we go, and it's so good to come back and be with my church family. Because as wonderful it was seeing my kids and seeing these new places, by the time we were done, we were ready to come back home and come back to those who know us and who love us, and we're so thankful for the opportunity to do that. But I want to talk about benefits. So let's go to the book of Psalms, 103rd chapter of Psalms, and we're going to read, I think we read this last week, and we're going to sort of break it down a little bit, summarize, because over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about these benefits that God gives us, and we do have some definite benefits. Now, we don't recognize them many times because we take them for granted. You know what that's like, taking things for granted? Had the opportunity, as soon as I got home, drove our truck from Indianapolis to Huntington, and park the truck. And then just yesterday, me and Heidi were going to go somewhere with the truck, and I was able to put it in reverse, and the truck went out the back, out into the street, and then I tried to put it into drive, and guess what? It was still in reverse. And I was trying to drive it forward, and it kept going backwards. And I go, wait a minute, something's not right with my truck. And I started panicking just a little bit. What's wrong with my truck? I can't afford another big bill. All right, no, I'm just kidding. I'm not kidding. I can't afford it, but that's not your fault, okay? And so we had that little mishap, but there's benefits to everything, even in the struggles, even in the difficult times, even when things happen, there's benefits to God's kingdom. And one of the things that we see is people are living for those benefits, but they don't realize what God has purchased for them. And in Psalm 103, I want to begin reading there in the first verse. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." And he says, "And forget not all his benefits." And he begins to list the benefits. I don't know, does anybody know what a forget-me-not is? Flower? It's a flower? Is that where the term comes from, or does it come from something else? Because there was a restaurant in my neighborhood that was called the Forget-Me-Not Inn. All right, I don't know if the restaurant was named after the flower, or the flower is named after the restaurant, or both of them were named after something else. But one of the things that God keeps telling the Israelites and the Jews and his people and those that are following him is don't forget, don't forget, don't forget. I have benefits for you. Do not forget what I have provided for you. And many times, us, even as believers, we take so for granted what God has provided. And we sort of, it's just like commonplace. Well, yeah, I know that. Oh, yeah, I know that. Well, we may know it, but often we forget what God has provided. And we need to understand how important it is that he has provided it for us. In Psalms, he continues, says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." And he begins to list the benefits that he sees are the most important things that we need to recognize and remember. He says, "And forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." And so we're just going to, over the next couple weeks, we're going to take some of these things that he has listed and begin to look at them, one after the other. Tonight, we're going to look at the forgiveness of sins because God has forgiven us. And we take that so for granted as Christians. We say, well, yeah, I know that. I've heard that all my life. I know that he does. But sometimes we don't really recognize what that means or what it really meant that we needed to be forgiven, because we can be a very stiff-necked people and a very arrogant people, and we don't really realize what that means. And so because we don't realize what that means, that he forgives us, and that we need to latch on to that and understand that, because we don't truly understand the depth of forgiveness, number one, that he has for us, but also the depth that we needed, we sort of take it for granted. And since we take it for granted many times, we don't really appreciate it. And because we don't really appreciate it, we don't really love God for what he truly has done. We forget. What does it mean that God forgives us? Because, see, a lot of times what we do when we're talking about forgiveness, we know that God forgives us. And we know that the reason God forgives us is because Jesus died on the cross. But sometimes we like to help God out with that. Okay, because we believe in God's goodness, but we also sort of believe that my goodness helps that out. You know, that the reason God can forgive me is because, you know, I'm a pretty good person. And everyone look at me and say, "Amen, Pastor, you're just a wonderful person." Yes, yeah, so give me the thumbs up. I'm glad you did this and not this back there. Okay, We forget that you know what? We can't help God out in any way with his forgiveness of us. We can't help him out. We want to. We think we're good enough that God, you know, Jesus was good enough to die for us, but you know what? We're a good people, so we're going to be okay. And a lot of times that translates to people who don't even know God, and that's why when you ask them, do you think you're going to go to heaven? A lot of times they'll say, well, yeah, I will. And you say, well, don't you think you've sinned against God? Oh, yeah, I've sinned against God. I've made mistakes. Well, then why are you going to get to go to heaven? And their answer is, well, because I'm a pretty good person. So in other words, they believe in the redemption that God's given us, but they also believe in, yeah, but I'm a good enough person, so I'm going to help him out. That the reason God can forgive me is because I'm a decent person. And what God wants us to know and understand is the depth of our sin, that we're really not. When it comes to what he's provided for us, that our salvation and the forgiveness of sin and the forgiveness that God has laid upon us has nothing to do with whether you're a good person or not, whether you're a goody two-shoes or not, whether you're a nice person or not, because in his economy, we cannot add to nor can we take away from the forgiveness that he wants to put upon us and give to us. It's all God who does it. And when we begin to get honest with ourselves, we can absolutely see it. Now, see, that's the bad news, because I see some glum faces right now. Oh, I'm a terrible person. Here, or someone else is maybe out there, and you, oh, Pastor Chris, you know, you're just real. You can be so negative. Well, I'm going to get positive in just a second, okay? Because, see, that benefit of forgiveness, even though we can't earn it, we don't deserve it, we can't help God out by trying to be good, we can't help him to do a little bit more for us, we can't earn his favor, we can't get him to love us a little bit more by being this good person that we think that we are, what he will tell us is that there is none righteous, no, not one. In fact, if it wasn't for what God did for us, we couldn't even come to him. If it wasn't for his loving arms reaching down to us, we would not even be able to ask for his forgiveness or even want his forgiveness. God has to put that within us and give us the ability to make the choice. Now, that's the bad news. Here's the good news, is that he has done everything because of his love for us, and that benefit of forgiveness is extended to every single person, whether they live in Australia, whether they're in Sydney or Melbourne, whether they're in Bali, no matter what they may have done in their life, God wants to extend that forgiveness to every single person, and his sacrifice was enough to forgive us of every single sin that we have done and every single sin that we are going to do. He has already paid the price, and he was willing to pay for it. And even though we're not worthy in and of himself, he looks upon his people and his congregation. His forgiveness not only extends to the fact that he's provided us a way into his kingdom and a way to go to heaven, his forgiveness is enough to extend to us that he would love us like he does his own child. Because when we come into his kingdom, we become a child of the King. And a child of his. The depth of his love and forgiveness extends to the point where he takes someone who's completely unworthy and makes us worthy by his blood. And his blood was enough. So here's the facts. The fact is, if it wasn't for God, we'd have no way into his kingdom. If we were left to our own devices, we would always walk away. In fact, he tells us that. He says, you know what? Even when we hated him, Christ died for the ungodly. His love extends to that much. Do you feel it? Do you sense it and know it? Or do you sometimes think, well, you know what, I'm a pretty good person, but you know what, I've done some wrong things, and because of that, I'm just not sure God can forgive me. There are people who actually say that. I'm just not sure God can forgive me. And I don't know if maybe we feel that way. If you feel that way, you've got a wrong idea of salvation. Salvation doesn't come because you're worthy. Salvation doesn't come because you're good enough. You know, God's favor on you doesn't come because you're good enough. Because His favor is not on you because you've done Sunday school. His favor is not on you because you've done Bible school. He doesn't love you because you're just a really good person in His eyes and He just really likes you. His favor is on you regardless and despite you and what you've done. And that is extended to everyone, not just us in here because we look so pretty. Because you're so good looking. He doesn't like you just because you're so good looking. Yes, Tina. He loves you because you belong to Him. I've experienced it, what it's like to love someone who belongs to me, and not quite, especially when we're talking about children right now. I know what it's like to love someone who's a child because for a good reason, and I know what it's like not to love someone because they're a child because you happen to be on the plane with them and they're sitting in front of you crying. We were on a plane when we went over to Australia. We left out of L.A., and I think I'm trying to get the time right. Heidi, if I'm right, shake your head. About 16 hours from L.A. to Australia, and then from Australia to Dallas, about 15 hours or 16, about the same, approximately. And was it over there that we had a child in front of us? Was that the one that we believe that might have been autistic? That was the one coming back? That was Bali. Okay. Well, we had another one when we went to Bali. That was another six-hour plane ride with another one who we believe may have been autistic right in front of us. And through all those times, you know, I mean, we were just pulling our hair out because when you're on a flight like that, when you're going that far, you got to get some rest. You got to sleep. And trying to get in just a couple hours here and a couple hours there is about all you can do because you're cramped. Many times you've got to be able to get up and stretch your legs. You can't really do it because you're sitting the whole time. And we knew what it was like. If those children were trying to get into our good graces, our favor, by being children, they weren't doing a good job of it, okay, because they kept us awake. And even when we went to sleep, we would hear, you know, or someone crying. And I'm turning over to Heidi, you know, and I'm thinking, I don't know what I was thinking. Well, I know what I was thinking, and I'm not going to tell you what it was. But we were like, I got to get some sleep. I got to get some. This child, you know. So we know what it's like when we see a child that does things we don't like, and we don't especially feel the love of Christ at that moment. Okay, we sort of have to ask God to love them through us. But then I know what it's like when my grandson or my daughter. We had our daughter, our granddaughter with us, Mora, and I fell in love with her, even though sometimes she didn't want to do what Grandpa wanted her to do. When we came back to Indianapolis, before we came up here, we brought Mora up here with us, and we spent the week with her. And there were times when I had to get away from her because I was trying to sleep during the day, and she was not having any of it because she was awake during. See, I was on Australian time. She was on United States, Indiana time. And she was awake when I was trying to sleep, and I was trying to stay awake when she was sleeping. We were not gelling very good, okay? But in the midst of that, guess what? That even when she irritated me the most, I would have died for her. my love for her was greater than anything. So what's the difference? What is the difference between how I felt about the children that were on the plane and my granddaughter who was keeping us up all week, which we did get through and we did love it and we loved having her, but now it's kind of nice not having her, okay, because now we can sleep a little bit more. Not yet, but tomorrow we're going to try and sleep because we're still on that jet lag time. What's the difference? I'll tell you what the difference is. She belongs to us. She's our granddaughter. She's our child. I can call her my daughter, even though she's our granddaughter. I often will call my grandson my son because they belong to us. And there's a love there that goes beyond what they do or haven't done or will do. We will always love them. We will always care for them because they belong to us. Guess what? God loves you and will always love you no matter where you're at, no matter what you've done, no matter what you may have done in the past, what you may do in the future. It doesn't matter. His forgiveness extends to you. Even though you don't deserve His forgiveness, even though you haven't earned His forgiveness, even though there's nothing you can do to help pay for the a little bit better level of forgiveness, His forgiveness extends to you because in Him you are His child. And He will always love you. Well, what about when I do this? Let me say it again. If we haven't realized the benefits of the kingdom of God, He will always love you. He will always love you. He's already reserved a place for you with Him in His kingdom. He's got a mansion that He promised His disciples. And not only did He promise His disciples a mansion that He was going to prepare for them, He promised it to every single person who would receive Him as their Lord and Savior and come into His kingdom. He promised it to everyone. He says, I've got a place for you. Why? Because you belong to me. And if He belongs to me, that first line, that first benefit is right there. He forgives us. And again, lest you take it for granted, had He not loved you, had He not forgiven you, you would not be good enough to enter the kingdom of heaven. You would not. But guess what? Here's the good news, is that His blood makes you good enough by His blood. The Father looks at Jesus and sees His Son, and He looks at us and sees the blood of His Son on the doorpost of our life, and He sees Jesus, His Son. We have been marked with a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow, and we will bow at some point. We are going to bow before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords as a church body, all together with all other congregations across this country and across this world, and we are going to take our crowns of life that He's placed upon our head, and we're going to lay them at His feet. Now, I don't know about you, but that gives me courage, gives me strength, gives me hope, makes me confident in knowing that there's nothing I can do to earn more of God's favor, that it's already extended in His love for us. I would think someone would say amen to that. That'd make you feel a lot better, doesn't it? Doesn't that make you feel, well, yeah, but you know what? I'm just not a very good driver. I don't know if God loves me because, you know, I break the law, you know. Or you know what? I stole something when I was younger. Listen, has anybody ever stolen anything in here? Am I the only one? I must be a creep. In my past, I must be a creep. You know, I mean, I've stolen things. I've lied to people. I've in my heart, I've hated people. In my heart, I've committed adultery. In my heart. Now, before you don't go out here, get anything wrong. I've never committed adultery against my wife. Don't go wrong. But in my heart, there's evil there. But the blood of Jesus Christ is poured out and shed upon me so that when God looks at me, he sees Jesus. He looks through the veil and he sees Jesus. But guess what? He doesn't stop there. He just doesn't want to just count you as one of his. He doesn't just sit there and put the blood on you and now he sees you. Okay, I'm going to count you as Jesus, as okay. Okay, because of the blood of Jesus. Not only does he do that, but he takes his very own spirit, his own Holy Spirit, and wants to put and place that Holy Spirit inside of you. And all you have to do is ask for the Holy Spirit to come. And that Holy Spirit is on the inside of you. And now he begins to do the work of the blood that's come upon you, the Spirit inside of you. It's like God is determined that you're going to walk like one of his and be like one of his on the inside and on the outside. Give up. You're surrounded. God is not going to let go of you because of his love for you. He forgives all your transgressions. Tonight we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk because I don't believe in an easy salvation like sometimes people preach an easy salvation. Oh, just receive Christ and everything will be fine. I mean, there's truth in that, but it doesn't go deep enough for people to understand what that means. Because they think, well, as long as I give mental assent to Jesus, then I'm okay. No, it's got to be deeper than that. And the first thing you've got to understand is how far away you're from God to start with. And then you can understand the wonderful reach of the love of Christ and how far he came to get you. And if he would do that for you, is there anything he wouldn't do for you? Is there anything he wouldn't do? No, there's more benefits. It's not just forgiveness. It doesn't just stop there. That's where it starts. That's why he listed it at first. It starts there. Doesn't stop there. He keeps piling it on. Keeps piling it on. He just, one more layer of goodness. One more layer of goodness on top of another. He keeps piling it on. And many times we don't recognize it because we've taken it for granted. We're going to talk about this in the next few weeks, of the benefits that God's given us as a child of God, as a walking, talking epistle of the Lord Jesus Christ. We went to a McDonald's in Bali. Me and Heidi, we've got this commitment that when we leave Huntington, we're not going to go to any restaurants that are in Huntington. Okay, we go to Indianapolis. If it's in Huntington, we're not going to it in Indianapolis. Or if it's in Florida, we're not going to it. Well, guess what? We get all the way across the world, halfway across the world, 12 hours away, time zone, and guess what? We go to McDonald's. Because we wanted to see if the fish I wanted to see if the fish in Bali was the same fish that you get here, right? Now, I don't know. I haven't really looked at it. Do they have double fish sandwiches here? They do in Bali. They got double fish sandwiches. Double fish. I'm going, I want one of those. They don't have those in Huntington. What a great double. I wonder if they got a triple fish. I'm looking on the menu. They have a triple? Because I love fish sandwiches in McDonald's. And they got fries. And their fries are better. They're in Bali. I couldn't believe it. Well, no, they're not better. They're about the same. They were really good, though. But they had a double fish. And just keep putting it on. And see, that's our relationship with Christ. God keeps putting it on. He gives us one blessing after another. And we sort of, we don't walk in it because we've forgotten the blessing. The blessing of just what we talked about today of forgiveness is so special that we forget it. See, we should, every time we come out of this church, we should walk with our heads up thinking, I'm a child of God. And I don't deserve it, but you know what? I do now because of his blood and what he's done for me. Woo! I tell you what. If someone like Bill Gates was to come in here and write you a check for $5 million and say, you know what, I'm just adopting you. Here's $5 million. You think you'd go out that door the same way you came in? No, you'd be hopping, skipping, and, you know, I'm a child of Bill Gates, woo! You know, and we'd be running around. And listen, Bill Gates, chicken feed. What he's got is chicken feed. You belong to God, who made Bill Gates and gave him the ability to get every single dollar he's got in his account. Bill Gates would have nothing if it wasn't for God. I don't know if he gives God credit. Maybe he does. But he should if he doesn't. Because if it wasn't for God, Bill Gates couldn't get out of bed every day to do what he needs to do. And you know what? Neither could we. But we belong to God, and he gives us that ability. We're going to talk a little bit more about what God has blessed us with in his benefits so that we don't forget what we've been blessed with. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward. I'm excited. You know, the last 3 weeks, it's been a wonderful last 3 weeks. And again, I want to thank our church family for allowing us that opportunity. But it just excites me more knowing that God is with us here in Huntington, Indiana, as well as he is with people in Sydney, Australia, or Melbourne, or Indonesia, or Europe, or wherever we may go. And I noticed there are a lot of us that went on spring break, and some of us went down to Florida. And everywhere you went with Florida, I'm going to tell you something. Wherever you went in Florida, God was there. You can't get away from him. He's always there. King David said, you know what, if I go here, you're there. If I go to the bottom of the ocean, you're there. If I go here, if I go to the top of the mountain, you're here. You know, it doesn't make any difference where I go, you're there. And when we come to realize that, it should give us confidence and a joy unspeakable. Joy unspeakable, knowing that he's with us wherever we go. Let's stand and sing, and then we're going to receive communion.